Jesus Christ. Not just the church, not just doctrine, but the gospel of Christ, which gives hope and salvation to all mankind, which is why Christ came, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And this is really what it's about, is God is taking the gospel to Indonesia through our faith. Not through the world, not through knowledge, but through faith. Because faith is something that if we don't have, we can't do anything. Because without depending on God, this is something that no matter what the condition is, we'll never have success in it. And this is something that what you see today has been a work of faith. Not maybe intentionally, but by necessity, that we come and actually understand that God provides. He gives all that we have, and He supports us in all our conditions of life. And I've experienced in the last 25 years just about every kind of condition that you want to experience. So this is something, Indonesia is the fourth largest nation on earth, fourth largest populated nation, the largest Islamic nation on earth. And it's the only Islamic nation that allows conversion from Islam to Christianity. And Brother Ed Wharton, he was one of my instructors out in Sunset, and he came over to teach in our college. And he made a statement that he thinks that from Indonesia will enter into the Islamic world. Because these are people that have been there, they've experienced Islam and all its different things, and this is something where if you've been there and done that, people will listen to you a lot better than just trying to listen to me. And they look a whole lot more like the rest of the Arabic world, even though they're not Arabic. They're Indonesian, they're like Filipino people, some of the most and I have a hard time speaking English sometimes, but hospital people and kind and loving people, and they have a saying there, there's always enough rice for one more plate. In other words, there's always a place at the table for a guest, and they have given me great hospitality over the years, and I appreciate what God has done by sending me there. I started working in Africa, actually, in Malawi in 1986, got pneumonia, had to come back home, and a man came by and says, let's take the gospel to where no man has ever heard. That happened to be New Guinea, in the northern part of New Guinea, western New Guinea, and it was true, but there wasn't much there, except you had to travel for days to find a village in the jungle, and it was a difficult time. But it was, again, a walk of faith, because sometimes if you're camping out in the jungle and then the river rises up and you have to swim through the floods and so on, you pray a lot. Your faith grows and grows. And through tribulation, our faith truly does grow. And this work has been one in some times of tribulation, but many times of great joy. So this is what we want to share with you. And understand that this comes from the Great Commission. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. And the therefore means we go by His authority. We go by the authority of Christ. And if you go to your neighbor, you're going with the authority of Christ to share the greatest message in the world, the biggest blessing that a person could possibly have in the world, and that's to live with hope, to live with peace, and live with love. This is something that is not known in the world. You can't get it from money. You can't get it from position. You can't get it from family. You can't get it from anywhere. The true love of God, the true peace of God, the true hope that we have, that we don't have to fear anything in the world. And this is what we bring. We bring hope to a world that lives in fear. And especially in Indonesia, where you have animism, you have Buddhism, you have Hinduism, and you have Islam. And none of these give any hope for eternal life. In fact, two of them say, oh, you have to be reincarnated. When I meet Muslims and Buddhists, usually I'll ask them one question. Why do you want to be reincarnated? Didn't you have enough problems in this life? Didn't you suffer enough? And what I would try to give them is the hope and explain the gospel to them, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Because He died and was resurrected, we have hope that we're going to go to sleep one day and we will arise again for eternity. And this is something that nothing else, nowhere else gives in any kind of religion. So God is taking the gospel throughout this entire country. I don't know if this works here, but this is where I started. I moved to Java, went to Sulawesi, then over here where that dot is Batam. It's an island too small to really see, but it's there, and it's right across from Singapore. And this has been a blessing to me. Moving there has great facilities and medical and so on, so I'm very happy with that. And we want to welcome you to Mission Indonesia. This is Lucy, my wife, and I've become director. I used to be dean and different things, but now I'm directing because I've developed a staff that does most of the work, and I'm happy about that. But it gives me time to do other things throughout the entire country. And also director of church planting. It's not good enough just to teach. It's not good enough just to give information, to implant information in the minds of men. It has to be that you empower them to go out and share that same knowledge with others. Because this is what 2 Timothy 2:2 is all about. He says, what you've heard from me in front of many witnesses, go and teach faithful men who are capable of teaching others also. This is generational, and this is how the church continues to grow and expand throughout the world. Is that one man, when Paul heard from Christ, he told Timothy, and Timothy told others, and those others told others. So generation after generation after generation. And in fact, in Ephesians 6:4, the command is, fathers, teach your children. Because that's where it really starts. It starts in the home. And this is what we teach these people, because they've never, even the denominational Christians, don't know Christianity. It's amazing. When you ask them, well, what is the gospel? They say, well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because it says gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what they think the gospel is. Their churches have never even taught them. They don't even know if they're saved. You ask them, are you saved? And, I don't know. I'll know, you know, when Jesus comes. They don't have the hope. Because without that knowledge of salvation, how can you have the hope that keeps fear at bay? How can you have the confidence in yourself through prayer to God that you're His child, that you're His possession, that all the flaming arrows of Satan cannot penetrate, because the faith stops them. But it's only faith that is grounded in one thing. And that's why Paul said the gospel is the most important thing in the scriptures, because in 1 Corinthians 15:1-3, he explains it to us. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Because that's God's plan to bring us back into His fellowship. And that's what we have today. And when we're there, we should have no fear of anything. Don't worry. He will take care of it. And what you're going to see here today is exactly that. I came to America in 2003, and this congregation helped in the building of this building, but it was built by faith. It's 10,000 square feet, has 3 classrooms that can teach 80 students at a time, 40 dormitory places or dormitories for 40 students to live in, offices for all, a library there on the top, has a kitchen, a mini apartment for visiting instructors and things. And this is something where a building like that, it cost $200,000 at the end, but when I initially started, the cost was $180,000. But I came to America in 2003, June, and didn't have a dime in the bank, but I said to the contractor, and I shook his hand, I says, brother, would you just go ahead and build that building? Well, no problem. I didn't have a dime, but I had one thing, and that was faith in God, that God does supply and our needs when there's a little qualification in there, when we're doing His will. He doesn't give it all at once. He doesn't give it immediately. In fact, it wasn't until the last day that this building was completed. On November 14th, I was leaving Indonesia, going back to Indonesia on November 15th, early in the morning. And on November 14th, in the evening, the family I was staying with, they asked me a question. He says, Winston, what are you going to do? You only have raised $100,000. I said, I really don't know, but God does. He'll take care of it. And that night, at 11 o'clock at night, my cell phone rang. I answered it. Good brother from Austin says, Winston, you go home and build your building. I've mortgaged my house for $80,000, and he'll take care of it. And he did. And we did build a building. It's, you know, that's the evidence of it there. But he did ask me a question. He says, do you have any idea how we can pay it back? And I said, well, I don't know, Henry. How do we have to pay it back? So he told me $40,000 a year for 2 years. And I said, okay. And I went home, and we finished the process of building the building. And next year I came back and raised the $40,000, and the following year raised the $40,000. The building's free and clear. 10,000 square feet building, free and clear, without a problem. We don't have a lot of debt. That's why our budget is so low, actually, at the building there. But it's Acts 19:16-10, where Paul started the school of Tyrannus, taught the people, and then the last sentence in there, it says, and all the people in Asia heard the word. And that's what it's about. That's the Great Commission. You baptize them in the name of the... Well, first of all, you make disciples. You call people to Jesus. If you really want to evangelize someone, and not really evangelize someone, but share your faith with them, what you do is you start with Jesus, or you start with God, in my case, because Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus, they don't know God. They just know their religion. But you start with a loving God who wants to have a relationship with us, or here, you, well, maybe even here, you might want to start with God first, because God is the foundation of all things, our Creator God. He's the one that has the plan. He's the one that we are in His possession. So maybe it's good to start just with, who is God? He is our Creator. He gives life to all things. He is the one. The other last couple days, I was up in Kentucky with my sister, and I was doing a little fishing out there on the shoreline, and I was so blessed just to be able to look out and see His creation without any distraction, to see the birds, to see the animals, to see the snakes and the critters all over the place. And this was just something that to know and to be into His creation like that is just a total blessing. And this is what we share with people. And we have the knowledge. There's not anyone more educated as far as the Bible is concerned than the Church of Christ. We're the only people who really do believe in it and believe that what is written is true. So basically, share what you know. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to have a PhD in the Bible to understand that I was saved and how I was saved and why I have faith. I have faith because God has given me something that I could never acquire someplace else, and that's hope and love and faith. And this is where people really don't understand. So basically, the Great Commission says, make them disciples. Make them disciples of Jesus. Make them want to follow Christ, not religion. That's the difference. Anybody I talk to, they always start off with, my church. It's not about my church. It's about Jesus. It's about the cross. And when we share that with them, we don't need to downgrade their church or try to promote the Church of Christ. That's automatic. God adds them to the church daily. And this is where it comes in, that God, and understand this, God is calling all men to Himself. And that's in Acts 2:39. And this promise is for you. What is the promise? Forgiveness of sins and receive the Holy Spirit of God that will seal them as a possession of God. That's the promise. And most people don't even have a clue that's there. They go around with a lot of guilt. They're afraid constantly because they're not receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit because they still have a bad conscience. What is baptism? It's an appeal to God for a clear conscience. That's in 1 Peter 3:21. An appeal to God for a clear conscience. In other words, are we perfect? No, I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But I know one thing. In 1 John 1:7, it says, the blood of Christ continuously cleanses us from all sin. In other words, it washes me clean. I don't have a bad conscience. Even though I make a mistake, I repent to God and I say, Lord, forgive me. I'll try not to do that anymore. And then I go on. And I have peace because I do have a clear conscience, because that's the blessing by having Christ in our lives. Not just in religion, but in reality. And this is what gives so much hope, and this is what gives so much faith. I went a little ahead here. I must have been pushing that thing. I didn't even know it. But, and this is why when he says in Acts 19, he says, in all of Asia heard the word. This is what is happening in Indonesia. We train men here, we send them forth, and in going forth, they proclaim what they've heard and know and share with other people. We plant churches, and that's what this whole thing is about. Expanding the body of Christ, expanding the Church of Christ, so that God can work throughout the entire world. And this is the staff that takes care of it. DJ Pasaribu, Herman Simanjuntak, Ferdinand Malu, and Mueller Tobing. And our biggest blessing, Brother Suchi, and the word Suchi means holy. And he's been a holy blessing to us because this man, he can't talk. He can't have verbal, he doesn't have any verbal skills. In other words, he just comes forth and does whatever needs to be done. But he was in Java. He was a Muslim that was converted. And he asked Brother Yonatan, who you'll see in a second, but he asked him, Brother, how can I serve the church? But like I said, he had no verbal abilities. In fact, he has to write his prayers out. if he's going to pray before the church. And Yonatan sent him up to Batam. He says, hey, they need a maintenance man up there. Why don't you go up there? And he did. And this man is, when I say he's the greatest blessing, our building now, we built it in 2003, it was finished in 2004. And in the tropics, a building of any form needs a tremendous amount of maintenance because the tropics are hard on buildings. So consequently, our building today is better than when it was built, because he's fixed all the mistakes of the contractor. So this is a blessing to us. But these other four men here, they're the heart of our mission, actually, because leadership, I did my dissertation on leadership in the church, and leadership, to be a really good leader, you have to do one thing, and that's replace yourself. And that's why I'm director now instead of dean and so on and so forth, because I've replaced myself with these men. And if I left and went home today, and I don't mean going back to Indonesia, if I went back with the Lord today, these men could carry on without any problem because they've been trained to do so and they've been empowered to do so, which is even more important. And this is a step of faith, believe me. If brother worked in Africa, you know it's hard to say, okay, you go ahead and do it. But I had a man, his name was, he worked in Zimbabwe, he came from Zimbabwe, he was out at Sunset, and he was over in Abilene, Abilene Christian College. I want to say Ira, but it's not Ira. But anyway, he did a thing on leadership, and he told a story about the Africans came to him and asked him for the keys to the truck. And he said to them, I can't give you the keys to the truck. You don't know how to drive. And they said, oh, well, that's okay. You know, we'll go ahead and do it anyway. But then he said, well, you're driving into the ditch. And their response was, well, we'll call you and you come and pull us out of the ditch and let them drive again. And this is what is empowering to people. You give them the opportunity to do the job, because who's here has ever been perfect when he first went to the job? No one. You know, you see the apprentice carpenter. The carpenter, he sits there and seems like he gives a couple strokes to the saw and he's all finished with it. But I'm, you know, and never hardly get finished. But it's the difference between being an apprentice and a competent man, a man that is able to do the job. But without giving them the ability to do that, to grow in that faith, you never can have competent people. And this is what empowerment is. And these men have been empowered. You see the Indonesian map behind them. And this is our vision, that you go into all of Indonesia. This is like being here and said, we're going to go into all America. Indonesia is 3,500 miles wide. It has 240 million people that have really no knowledge of God whatsoever. Islam says God is far off. They don't know God. They only know religion. The animistic people, these are people that believe in the spirit world, they don't know God. They're afraid. They live in mortal fear every day, because if they do something to offend those spirits, they'll die. So basically, when we bring the gospel with hope, love, and peace, we're giving them the best gift that they could ever know in the world. And these men have been trained to do so. These are our other instructors. All have graduated from the college. All have a bachelor's of religion degree. But previously, when we offered our bachelor's of religion degree to the Department of Religion, they wouldn't accept it because they hadn't written a thesis. In Indonesia, to get a bachelor's degree, you have to write a thesis. You just can't get the degree. So basically, they're all going back to another school because we don't have the right to give them what they call an S1 degree right now. But that's when we have our full accreditation, which within the next 2 or 3 years we'll have. But they have to go back to school. Faith. They take away the time from their families, from their work, to do what they know is most important. And that's being able to go forth and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is our curriculum. It's the entire New Testament. It's empowering courses. It's courses in the Old Testament, how to understand the Bible, how to understand the prophets, how to understand wisdom literature. I didn't really get any of those courses when I went through Sunset back in 1985. They didn't teach those courses, but they were something that needed to be done, how to teach, how to preach, how to lead singing, how to overcome conflict in the church, conflict resolution. These are things that the people need that empowers them to do the work. So after a 2-year program, these men go out and they have the ability to serve the church. And in fact, in the first years program, the first term, they basically are equipped to serve the church. Some of them really don't have the ability to go through the second term, so they only come to the first term. Because it is a college, we do have a standard, and that standard is 70%. Over in Indonesia, it's 50%. But our standard is 70% because we're not sending men out and giving them a degree that doesn't know and don't have the ability to serve the church, because that's what it's all about, is serving the church so that it may grow and expand throughout the entire country. This is our class of 2011. This is 19 men, the first and second term together. These are men that came from all over the entire country. We pay for their travel, we pay for their food, we pay for their housing, we give them the books. When they go home, they have a complete commentary on the entire New Testament and understanding of the Old Testament. This is something that, because there's no way to buy this material in Indonesia. Many places and villages and so on, they can't even go online to order it, but they wouldn't know how to order it anyway because it's not in Indonesian. All the books in Indonesia are basically about theology. They're not about the Word of God. And in fact, the religious schools in Indonesia teach two courses in a five-year period of time on the Bible. It's an oversight of the Old Testament, an oversight of the New Testament. Nothing else. The rest is all theology or humanistic teachings of psychology, philosophy, and different things like this. It's just no Bible. I was amazed. One day I was in Bogor on the island of Java. I'd been out teaching people, and I was riding home on local transport, and I seen this couple sitting across from me, and the local transport's only about this wide. So I seen they had a Bible, and I talked to them about it. And they said, oh, we're in Bible college. We're in 3 years now. I said, oh, what books are you studying? And they said, they gave me a name, a couple books for men. And I said, no, I meant the Bible. Oh, we already studied the Bible. I said, when? Oh, the first week. He says, we opened to the first page and memorized all the books of the Bible. After that, they haven't opened it again. So this is where understanding of the scriptures is tremendously important, because our faith comes by what? Hearing the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing by the word of Christ. And this is something that's tremendously important to us, because without that, there is no foundation. That's why we have hundreds upon hundreds of Christian churches, supposedly, throughout the entire country of the United States. All over the place. It doesn't make any difference anymore. And the Bible doesn't make any difference, because basically, they're doing anything they feel like doing. If the culture wants it done, they do it. This is what I read on the internet about the Presbyterian Church. I was amazed. I could understand the Anglican Church or the Episcopal Church saying, oh, we'll have homosexual priests and leaders. I could understand that, knowing where they're coming from. But when the Presbyterian Church says, oh, we're going to have homosexual preachers because the culture wants it, they accept it. To me, I was shocked when I read that, simply for the fact that what is the church supposed to be? It's supposed to be the light. It's supposed to be the salt of the earth. It's supposed to be the influence upon the world, not to be influenced by the world. But today, in America, unfortunately, we are being influenced by the world instead of us influencing the world. And it's time that we need to stand up and say, oh no, this is wrong. And it is wrong. We need to go forth and proclaim, and the way to do that is start teaching our youth. Not just to quote it, but to know it, to live it, to share it with other people. This is the graduating class. There's 11 men here. There is actually 12 that graduated. They're from all over Indonesia. And this is why I'm saying that we go forth to all of Indonesia. And it's a little bit like Sunset. We're an associate of Sunset. And actually, the curriculum that you saw there, the majority of it is courses from Sunset. But it's a matter of, back in 97, 98, I started translating all the courses that I had from my notes. And we've had teachers come over, and we tape them, we transcribe it, then we translate it. And today, we don't need any foreign teachers coming over to teach, because all the men, all the instructors teach in the Indonesian language. I teach it in the Indonesian language. And this is a matter of that they're prepared in a language they can understand, that they can receive in their own heart, that they know and they can share with others. And that's what these men were sent out to do. This is our budget for next year. It's good to report that this year we came in $500 under our projected budget from last year. So this has been a blessing to us. And this budget here, I'm still raising money for that, but we had to give our staff a little bit of increase. Their salaries averaged about $300 a month last year. And they asked for about a $50 increase this year, so which raised their budget up a little bit. But it's probably the lowest budget that you'll ever see for any school throughout the entire world. I know it is, in fact. Most of them are $200,000, $300,000. Seen one down in Honduras was over $600,000 a year. But this doesn't include myself. I don't take any money from the funding for the school, simply for the fact that even though I teach in it and even though I lead it and so on, it's a matter that I don't want to impair that. So our total is $82,000. Botham College, our goals and needs for 2012 through 2014. We have a library up on top. That was that structure you see on top of the building. We need to have 2,400 books for our library. The cost of that is around $18,000. And right now I've raised $6,000 already for it, so we're well on our way towards taking care of that. We have to install a computer lab in the library with six laptops or six computers. Then we're adding a third term for our S1 degree. This degree is what will empower our students to actually teach religion in any school throughout Indonesia. It's not like America. They actually teach religion there. They actually use the Bible there. They actually can pray, whether it's Islam or Christianity or any other form of religion. They have the ability to do that because in their constitution, it says every man has a right to choose his own faith. And they don't close down religion. I think our Supreme Court back years ago made a big, big mistake when they said you can't pray in schools. I can't think of anything worse than that, because now you just look at the children coming out of our schools. They don't know God. They don't know faith. They don't have hope. They're just simply secular people because they've been taught by many secular people. And this is something that we have to really take care of that, especially I look out and I see a lot of folks like me here, grandfathers, great-grandfathers and mothers, families. You have our children. You need to share your lives and especially your faith with your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, because as grandparents, we have more influence than you could ever imagine. Because, you know, we can bring them in and love them and hold them and take care of their boo-boos and whatever and send them home. So we're not under the stress that the mom and dad are. And this makes the difference because they listen to the grandpa and grandma. They listen to them a lot more than they actually do to their parents, because they hear the parents every day. You know, no, 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 you know, do this, do that. So consequently, we can have more influence upon our grandchildren than you could ever imagine. And I've noticed that throughout all my entire ministry, is that when I talk to people about changing their faith, one of the biggest reasons they don't want to change is because of their grandparents. Oh, my grandparents were this. How could I ever change? They have more respect and more love actually for their grandparents sometimes than they do their parents. So I just want to encourage you to do that. But adding the third term means that we have to, because we won't include secular courses with our first and second term, because that's Bible. And that needs to be very stable in there. So we're creating a third term where we can teach philosophy, psychology, and all the other secular courses that they want us to teach. Matter of fact, they even want us to teach Hebrews, which is something where I've just picked up the books for Hebrews. I can't even pronounce the thing, so I need to find an Indonesian that can pronounce it better than I to teach it. So this is basically what we're doing, and acquiring our permanent accreditation. That will allow us to give the S1 degree. And not only can the students teach in any religion in any school, that's from grade school on through college, then they can also are qualified to become a bureaucrat in the government, which gives them a pension at the time, and many of them want to do that. This is impacting Indonesia so far since year 2000. This doesn't count my work from 85 up through 1998 or 99. But from year 2000, we've planted 54 churches. Last year, it was 50. I think it was 50. This year, we've already planted four more. And we're planting them throughout the entire country. And this is the team that's doing it. These are the leaders of the mission work. There's some of the instructors in there. When they're not teaching, they're missionaries. They're going forth to other islands and preparing them, teaching, encouraging the mission teams that we send out. And this is the result of it. This is called Bunkaris, Church of Christ. The pictures that you see on the top, actually that's outside and inside. I'm standing in the doorway last February and preaching inside and outside. It's like here, I'm turning from one side to the other and preaching there. And the whole village turned out. And already we've baptized 24 people there. They're building their own church building. And this is what it's about, preaching the gospel of Christ so that people may be saved. And, whoops, I think I went too far. No. Yeah. Okay. This is the Samungi Church of Christ. This just happened in September. Yonathan Suparso, my assistant church planting director. He's assistant director of church planting. And he's over in Kalimantan right now. And this is the result. In September, he baptized 40 people in the village of Samungi. And they didn't wait until the next day, even though they had to go. I don't know if it's a river or if it's a lake or wherever they're at. It's too dark to see. But it's basically people hearing the gospel and responding to it. Because when we preach it with love and conviction and give them the hope that they need, that they don't have to fear the spirits anymore. I even have students, they have, IMLOC, what they call IMLOC, and what it is something that they've created to protect them when they're walking in the dark. Indonesians fear the dark. And they have these things that they created. It's animism. They create it and they carry it with them always to protect them. And when they come to the school, they still have these things with them because we have a lot of village people come. And this is a matter of when we teach, I ask them in my courses, how many still have this? And a few will put up their hands very reluctantly, but they will. And I said, why? Why not believe in someone that has all power in heaven and earth to protect you? Why are you believing in something that you made or you got from a shaman? Why are you believing in that? That's something that was created by man. Why are you not believing in our Lord and God, Jesus Christ, who has all authority and power in heaven and earth? Why are not you believing in him? And they get a little, red in the face because they have believed that way. Because it's hard to change culture. It's hard even here. It's even maybe even harder in America. But you can do it when you present it in a way that they can believe. This is the way to Air Besar Church of Christ. Air Besar means large water. And it's hard over there. Air here is air there. And air and water, two different things. But Air Besar is just large water. They have to take a dugout canoe across the river and up these canals to get to this place. It's not easy to go, but you go by faith. You go because that's where the Lord opened the door. You go because that's where the Lord knows there's people that want to hear. So this is the one thing, and it's a clue to understand that we need to go when the Lord opens the door. I've tried to plant churches all over Indonesia, and when I've done it on my own, by my own reasoning and thinking, well, this would be this, or this city would be great because of this, 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 all the things that missiology teaches, and we usually fail, unfortunately. But when the Lord opens the door, we have had success every time. Every time. Never failed. Because he calls people unto himself, and that's what Acts 2:39 says. And this promise is for you, for you and for your children and for all those who are far off, as many as are being called to our God. God calls people, and he calls them through us, through the church. That's why we're here, to be able to respond. Maybe somebody, has a fender bender with you. Usually, what's the response? Oh, we're a little angry or a little upset and so on and so forth. But why? Well, it's just a material thing. It's no different than dropping a plate or whatever. It's broken. So what? But it's our response to those people that they can see Christ in us. And that's just one of many, many examples. But these people were 50, were baptized in this church here because men were not afraid to go across the water. One of our evangelists who serves this area, he came forth and he wrote in his newsletter, or not in his report, that I'm afraid to go there by myself. Indonesians hate to travel alone anyway. But being out there on that river in a little dugout canoe, it is a little scary. I've been in them things, and I know it's not the best place to be. But he still goes by faith. And this is about our help. My salary is $33,000 a year. I also have health insurance, so with a total of $45,000. This year in October, I went to Golf Course Road Church of Christ down in Midland, Texas, and they gave me a breakdown of everything. I didn't know this until October, but I was minus $15,000. Last year and the year before, you know, I was raising funds continuously for the school and for the mission program, and I sort of forgot about myself, and this is a result of that. So this year, I'm trying to raise the funds to make up that deficit so that Lucy and I can at least live on an equal basis. But not only that, but because I have money to do what is needed to be done. And that, a lot of times, is church buildings. This year, I've already contributed to the purchase of two church buildings, and because they were needed. In other words, in Indonesia, they have a law that says, not a law, but a decree, that says you can't build a church building unless you have 100 members and get the approval of four different religious organizations plus all the people living around it. And that's a little hard to do. So consequently, when we find a building that already has the certification as a place of worship, that's the place we want to buy. And two of those came up this year, and it cost me $7,000. But the Lord gave it. Why should I not give it back? I don't worry about money, because the Lord does take care of it. And I know He'll take care of me here. And if you'd like to send a gift, please send it to Golf Course Road Church of Christ, 3500 West Golf Course Road. That's in that brochure. And make an attention for Winston Bolt or for the Bible College. And I want to thank you for your time, and I pray that you've been blessed by this participation in it, because this church has been part of our work there, and I deeply appreciate it. And I pray that God blesses you all, and go forth and preach the word. Thank you.